In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a brief side note, my vicarage congregation had a creek that ran between us and the Baptist church on the other side. And I don't know how many times they called during our vicarage to see if they could buy the property on the other side for parking. And every time they did, my supervisor would come out of his office and sing, "On Jordan's bank, the Baptist cried, sell us your land." Our text for this day is our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist, the true John the Baptist, preaching repentance. You probably practiced repentance. Hopefully you still practice repentance. But you're reminded of it maybe and think about it when you were a little kid. We did this all the time. Something would happen, you'd pick on your brother or your sister. If you're in Wednesday Bible class, you know that happened a lot in my family. And eventually mom or dad would intervene, and it would go something like this: tell your brother that you're sorry. And how did the sorry usually sound? Fine, sorry. Right? And then mom would say, no. Tell your brother you're sorry. You'd get the eye roll and the sigh, fine, sorry, right? And it might have gone on even longer than that until your mother was convinced that you were sincere and actually contrite and not just saying what you needed to say in order to get out of trouble. There's something about that, though. When we have someone apologize to someone else, especially if it's children or grandchildren, there is that part of us that wants to see that contrition before that forgiveness is spoken. So we want to hear it in the tone of their voice. We want to see it in the tears in their eyes. Whatever it is. We want to see that they are truly sorry before they can hear the words, "I forgive you," come from our mouth. But my question is that a good practice? If we demand to see contrition in that way prior to pronouncing forgiveness to someone, have we changed what it means to repent according to Scripture? Have we changed our relationship from one of grace to one of works? And here's what I mean by that. How often do we look at repentance as a work that we must do in order to merit the forgiveness of sins from Christ? That God wants to hear those words. He wants to hear every sin confessed. He wants to see the tears fall from our eyes until He'll finally let loose of that forgiveness and say, "Okay, that time you meant it. Here you go." But look what happens. Forgiveness, receiving forgiveness from Christ then, does not come by faith and trusting in His promise, but instead forgiveness comes from my ability to be contrite enough to merit it. If you read through the confessions, this is one of those kind of secondary but also important arguments that runs through it. Because this is the argument from Roman Catholicism back to the Lutherans. Attrition, contrition, all these different aspects of it that you must show by your work, by your sadness, by your terrifiedness of your expression, whatever it may be, that you are truly sorry. And then God will release the forgiveness to you that you so desire. The Lutherans don't buy that. They say there are but two parts to repentance, and they are contrition and faith, and both are worked by God. We cannot merit forgiveness by our contrition, by our work, by how sorry we are, because if we did, the confessions say Judas is the most contrite person in all of Scripture. He's terrified. He is so contrite for what he has done. There is nowhere for him to turn. And if mere contrition were work enough to merit forgiveness, he would have been forgiven. Contrition, our feeling sorry, our recognition of our sin, it takes place when we are condemned. Our sins are condemned by God's word. God brings it about. His word of law speaks to us. It points out our failures, our shortcomings, our sinfulness, actual and original, and everything in between. And it terrifies us. It makes us see just what we have done to offend our God. And then in faith, we believe in receive that forgiveness of sins. But this is the Pharisees' problem in Matthew's gospel this morning. They hear John's call to repentance, but they hear it absent of faith. They hear it as a work by which they can come and do something and merit forgiveness or favor with God. They are there to do the work, make the show of their contrition, step into the river and be baptized, but there is no faith which believes and trusts the word of God. And so John calls them out on it. He says to them, they are nothing but a brood of vipers. This is not true repentance that comes looking and seeing it as a work on our part. And that is the danger that we run into as well, of believing in some way that God may withhold His forgiveness from us if we are not sorry enough, if we haven't felt badly enough, if we haven't done enough to make up for it. When we make confession, when we hear that call to repentance, keep in mind that we are making confession to the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus, not for the forgiveness of sins. Do you hear the difference in just those two little words? If you make confession for the forgiveness of sins, it implies that what you are doing merits it, and that you have to do it in order to receive it. But when we rightly state it as we are making confession to the forgiveness of sins, we are confessing to something that is already by faith ours in Christ Jesus. And that is the difference. It is something that God works in us as opposed to something that we do for Him. And as we hear the call to repentance, as God's word, as His law works upon our hearts, the second part of that is indeed faith in Christ. Because as Scripture says over and over, it is through faith in Christ and for Christ's sake that your sins are freely forgiven. Not because of how contrite you were, how well you could prove it. And that is those others in that crowd. They're gathered to hear John the Baptist's words. They hear his call to repentance, and they hear it in faith. That word of God spoken by John created it. And so they come to him there at the Jordan River, not trusting in their own works as though they are doing something to earn that forgiveness. But they come trusting in God's mercy that will be shown to them in the one to whom is to come, whose way John the Baptist announces that he is preparing. Repentance is the work of God's word. He kills with his word of law. He convicts your heart. And then he makes alive again through faith. Again and again and again. It is why we don't hear repent as some bad or evil thing. Well, sure, sometimes that sinful part of us rises up and we get a little rankled about having to say I'm sorry or make confession to what it is that we have done. But faith hears that call to repentance and recognizes that there, even in the law, that is a gracious and loving word from our God. Our God who does not leave us in our sin, but instead condemns it and gives us a Savior. This is what he sends John the Baptist to do, to preach repentance. It is a merciful act so that those who hear it would be brought there to John the Baptist and hear of the one who is to come, who brings mercy and forgiveness and life. There John speaks the word of God. He kills with the law. He makes contrite hearts through that spoken word so that there on the cross, faith might see the forgiveness of sins secured for you. Repentance speaks to faith. It is law and gospel, but it is through faith that we see that that forgiveness is ours already on account of Christ Jesus. We live in it every moment of every second of every day. God is at work amongst His people, working this miraculous work in us through His Word to show us our sin and then show us our Savior. It's the parable of the prodigal son that Christ tells. You see there, if you remember, how that son plans his speech to win back his father's forgiveness and favor. He sees repentance as something of a work that he must do. If he shows that he is contrite enough, if he shows that he is willing to simply be a servant, then his father will release the forgiveness to him. He rehearses his contrite words on the way back. But you remember what happens when he arrives. He gets started on his little speech, but his father cuts him off. He will not hear it. He will not have any of it. The son's work, his contrition, how sorrowful he feels, whatever he has to bargain with or offer does not matter. The forgiveness of sins is his freely from his father, as it is yours. Luther said in the first of the 95 Theses, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, He willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. A life in which God's Word convicts us of our sin and then points us in faith to our Savior, whose forgiveness is already washing over us. It is a life, as we hear that call to repentance, a life of being killed and raised to new life day in and day out, a life lived by faith. A Christian life that is none other than walking and living in your baptism. Luther says, if you live in repentance, you walk in your baptism. Because there you cling to that word and promise of God made to you at that baptismal font that you are indeed forgiven and covered over with the righteousness of Christ. God needed no other work. He works the repentance in you then, day in and day out, and points you back to that promise to remind you that the forgiveness is already yours. Look at how closely John has these two tied together in what he says. He baptizes with the law for contrition, and Christ baptizes with the Holy Spirit. for forgiveness. During Advent, we are called to repent, to hear the Word of God, the law that He speaks that condemns our sin, but then in faith to hear the good news of the gospel. To walk in repentance is nothing more than to be convicted of your sins through that Word of God and trust through faith in Christ, the promise of God made to you in your baptism, which made the forgiveness of sins yours. What a loving and gracious work we see our Lord engaged in through John the Baptist this day, preparing a world for Christ, calling sinners to repentance, and pointing them to their Savior. It is a work that God still does among His people today through His Word for you and to me. He brings us to that contrition and then points to the cross and says, "The forgiveness has already been won. It is yours freely in Christ Jesus." It is God's work which prepares us and keeps us in that one true faith, walking in a life of repentance until Christ comes again. So as we journey through these days of Advent together, and we continue to hear our Lord's call to repentance, may we hear it with joy, knowing that He is working in us, making a contrite spirit, and then by His word of gospel, pointing us to the forgiveness of sins, already washing over us in Christ Jesus. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.